he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta get up again.
Okay, darn.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been going on, brother?
Less of what's been going on with me. What's been going on with you in pro events? Let's get straight into the dirty.
You've robbed me birdie for the week.
Listen, that can be the whole show. Let's talk about
it. Do you know what?
Congratulations in order to start with, mate.
Nice one, brother. Nice one.
Well done.
It was, well, I just entered the Alliance there and then, like, when I was going in it, Matt was like, are you entering the pro sweep? Because you can pay an extra bit of money to enter the pros because it's like a pro-am, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's basically a donation, but go on then. And give the tendon or whatever it is. And, end up shooting 366 and winning.
Unbelievable.
I know. So I'd like literally ticked off all, like, three of my goals in one go. It breaks 70, shoot under par, and compete in a pro event.
And you won it.
Yeah.
Need to chill out on that stuff as a bogey boy, lad.
Hello, yeah. Change it to the Birdie Boys podcast.
You'll have to get someone else then to join you. Yeah, no, unbelievable stuff. When you told me that, I was like, you know what, but you've been working hard for it, haven't you?
I've been getting down there. I think the next stage for me now is like proximity to the hole from like with me mid irons and stuff, because it's like I'm hitting greens, but I'm miles away.
Right.
And then like you can say, you can shoot 66 midweek, and then I went for the lesson this morning and I was all over the place, and I'm talking like club face short, path everywhere, like just hitting these weird strikes. Like, and Dave was like, actually for the second time since we started this podcast, said, what are you doing?
Yeah, so what was that down to?
I think it was just more because I played a couple of pairs matches, like one with Arkeen, and I played a little knock around with David and that on Thursday, but I was meant to have a lesson on that Thursday morning.
Right.
Because I knew, even though I got it round quite well with the drive around Walton, I knew there was something not right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I held a few nice putts and, like, you know, got a score together, but I just knew there was something, like, there was something wrong.
Yeah.
But it was working. And that's the most dangerous combination, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, when you think it's right. So what was up with your golf swing when you got there?
Everything, yeah. Like, honestly, I've got a full list. Back to basics, really. Basically, what you've been teaching your daughter today about stance and grip and all that, like, I'm relearning the basics.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was saying
come with us, yeah.
I was saying today, I was like, do you know I shot 66 on Wednesday? Like,
that's your problem. You've got to 66 and thought, this is easy.
This
took
is easy.
Took your eyes off the prize.
Well, I think I just had no accountability for the bad shot, because one, I had a part, and two, I didn't really care. So I was just stepping up there and whacking it and walking off and whacking it again. And
yeah. It's hard to find the balance, because it depends how serious you want to take it. Like, you still need to have that enjoyment where, like, you can go out and just have a bit of fun.
That's it.
You've but just then, got to have them knocks in, haven't you?
But as I say, like, when I saw more proximity to the hole, because I'm hitting greens still, because I'm getting away with it like, I'm saving it with my hands, because the body's clever, it adapts, do you know what I mean? I'm saving
definitely.
It with my hands and different things, and it's just, it's better to get it all. I've got a checklist now.
When that's off, it's going to be
bad.
Yeah,
that exactly. Well, it was exactly Saturday. It was bad.
What you got? How'd you go Saturday?
83 or something. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. It's a joke.
83. So what happened there?
Just all over the place, man.
Was you?
Yeah. Put a 7-3 put, like.
Yeah.
But do you know what happened? Actually, let me tell you what happened. Actually, I played Formby all Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And the greens were like the rough.
Were they bad?
Like, yeah, it was a joke. And then they cut, rolled, and, like, sprayed them with the stuff, and they were just rapid, like 10 on the stimp
right.
or something.
See what
I was just like, what the hell? But, yeah, how was your golf? You had your first comp of the year, didn't you?
First tournament of the year. Do you know what? I shot an 84, so 12 over. But could have been so much better. It was just loose again. It was off the back sticks, and I haven't played off the very backs since I've been back. I've just been playing yellows, getting back into it.
Yeah.
And even last season when I was playing the Sundays, it was all yellow competitions. So it's my first Saturday white comp medal tournament for, I'd say, probably 2017 was the last time I entered a competition like that. So it was good. Yeah, I doubled the first. I
flyer.
Off to a flyer, yeah. I told myself, as long as you're not 6 over through 6, you'll be fine. I think I was 5 over through 6, and it just got a bit easier from there. And then I think a couple of lazy swings towards the end of the round. I made double on 15 and double on 17 and no birdies.
No,
so it was 12 over, but it was six bogeys, 3 doubles, and the rest pars.
Well, remember when I was saying to you, like, a few months ago, like, you got, I was like, I'm 15 holes golf, 16 holes golf,
yeah,
17 holes golf, like,
yeah,
and then you put an 18 together, like, it'll come, do you
it'll
know
come,
mean?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I could, like, short game was sharp, off the tee was okay, and iron play was pretty good, but it was just like, probably about 4 or 5 really bad shots cost me like probably 6 or 7 shots, I think.
That's it.
So I was getting punished for my bad shots. But you do on that, you do on the back tees, and it was windy. I put a little video on the story.
It
the
was
third
blowing
tee.
A hooly on it.
I know. First, well, 204 yards is the first hole, and it was into, and it was playing to the pin about 212 because it was back pin. And it was windy, so it was like 2:30. I just tried to get a 4-iron there.
It's fucking driving for you, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. And just snap up this 4-iron, left myself, it was dead, chopped it. It went like 2 yards in front of me, and then chopped it again, went short of the green. So I'm chipping onto the green for 4 on a par 3 first. All I'm thinking, oh no, this is not what I want.
No way.
But I got up and down, so.
I feel. Do you think, like, once we smashed the routine with, because my fitness didn't really happen much last week. I'd done all my stretches that I was meant to do with that, you know, our fitness program with 3D Golf Strong.
Yeah.
Obviously, with that, you're left as you turn, isn't it?
I definitely felt the benefits of it, and the reason
I feel like
you look
like you've lost a bit of weight.
Yeah, I've been.
Have you been weighing yourself?
No, I've not weighed myself, no, but like, this hoodie feels looser.
I can
know what
tell
I mean?
You, no, and, it definitely like, is. I can just look from then, yeah.
Yeah, and my face feels a bit thinner, but. It's only been a week,
but the week, like, putting a good week in, a good shift.
It. I had a good week in, and I'm determined now, and I could definitely feel the benefits, because although I did put a few lazy, tired swings towards the end, it wasn't nothing in comparison to where I have been. I've been achy after 9 holes, do you know what I mean? Like, there was no aches and no pains, and the way through the 318.
Well, golf fitness, as we always say, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
like
huge.
It's and mentally and physically. So first tournament back, like, really.
Well, if you've
got a base to improve on, haven't you?
If you're fatigued throughout your body, then mentally you're naturally going to be fatigued, aren't you? Because
you're going to be frustrated as well, because you can't do what you're wanting to do because you're actually tired, and then you're getting pissed off, and then you know what I mean.
It was good just to get back. It was funny because I won the spring. It was the spring meeting. The way it works at our place is you've got the spring meeting and the autumn meeting. And over those 4 rounds, the lowest gross score for the 4 rounds wins the club. That's the club champion for the year.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the first round one of the spring. And I won this back in 2007. So my name's on the board in the club just for winning the spring, and I was like, I'm going to take back what's mine. And then I'm chipping for my 4th shot on the first. I'm thinking,
someone else can
maybe
keep it.
Maybe next time, yeah.
Yeah, but you never know. Like, has anyone ever won it with an 80? Is it gross?
There's a gross and a net. I think the lowest score of the day was level par, so it just shows how tough it was when you consider how many plus handicaps are there. I don't think anybody was under par. Harry Begg, I think he's 1 over. He's 1 back, so he's probably going to have a good chance to win. I think Danny shot an 80, which is unlike Danny. He plays off plus 1. So
Danny Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it was tough scoring out there. The greens were rapid. It was firm, and it was windy.
Yeah, it was a tough day.
It was a tough day, yeah, but it's good to be back.
No, it is. Well, do you know what? I've come to the realisation when I was playing the other day that I don't like form balls hard, too hard, you know? Honestly, I was playing, I was like, this is just a joke.
It is hard, yeah.
Off the whites, like, it's a joke, of course.
It is tough.
And then the club sounds off the blues.
Yeah.
Like,
There's a lot of punishment because there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of water, and it's got the yardage as well.
It's a joke, you know?
Where at S&A, you can hit a few loose ones and get away with it. Where a foam ball, I don't feel as though you can. I hit the 2-iron a lot because it was so firm, and it was windy, so I thought I'd get a bit of rolling on 12. It's a blind tee shot, isn't it? And
yeah, I was just trying to work out which
one. I can just never get it right, so I thought, you know what? And it was right.
You can go a lot further left than you think, innit?
Yeah. And it was right at the back tees, but I've hit this 2-iron, and I've only got like a wedge in from there.
Sure.
And I was like, I can't believe that 2-iron's gone that far. I ripped it, like, I hit it well. But in my head, I just imagined, because I'm not sharp with my distances at the minute, I thought, I'm probably going to have like a 6-iron in from there, but that's okay, do you know what I mean? Because I'm in the fairway, I'm in play, and I can trust my irons. But yeah, I only had a wedge in. Put a wedge to about 15 foot, missed the birdie putt, and walked off on a par on like on stroke index, the second hardest hole, but it is a tough hole.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a tough tee shot, isn't it?
Tough tee shot, and even the second, because it's a new green, the green's very undulating, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, no, I think the tactics were a lot of 2-irons off the tee.
Well,
but
that's what you got it for, isn't it?
That's, yeah. Well, you know Dan said this to me, didn't he? He said, pick them based on the course that you're going to play at more regularly. Yeah. So for me, it's a great bit of advice. 2 iron round SNA is perfect because that means I'll only have to get the driver out on some holes, and if I can get on top of my driver and just try and get 3 or 4 good drives around, I'll start getting it in play a bit more and see my scoring coming down, because those doubles I had, they were all off bad tee shots.
Yeah. Well, as you put the rescue in, I took mine out, didn't I, and put the 5 wood in.
Yeah.
With that, and then now, what I struggle with though, the new 4 iron that I've got as well, that's like, I'm struggling to trust how far that can go, because that can get up to, like, I was either on Dave's Skytrack today, and it was getting up like 220, 225 and stuff. So I'm like, there's plenty of club there.
Yeah.
And like, I had like 245 to the back edge of 7, and the pin was right at the back. And I know if I'd landed my 4 iron, like at 220, 200, it rolls up to there.
Yeah.
Because it's quite firm. But I had 5 wood, pitched on the back of the green and flew off into the bushes. So like the positive from that is the 5 wood flies 250.
Take your positives, yeah. Congrats on the professional win, mate.
I know.
Can't believe how far that's come, because when we started this, in August last year, and you were off 9, there was always, I'm going to get lower than you, lower than 5, you got there, and now you're just like winning pro events. What's going on?
I know. Well, a couple of people actually come up to me at the golf club, and they were like, oh my God, you said you were going to get to scratch this year, and you've done it. Well done on that. Like, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know you listened to the podcast.
But thanks.
But yeah, nice one. I have been ramming the podcast down people's throats now.
Good.
I get anyone who play, like these two lads we played, I talk about it, told them, and got on the phone, subscribed, put notifications on for them for the new week, because they're like, I don't know how to get podcasts, I haven't got podcasts. I'm like, here's your phone.
I think that's half the battle, isn't it? Because I speak to a lot of the older fellas at the golf club, and like, oh, I've heard about your podcast. I'm like, have you been listening? They said, oh, I don't know how to get all that stuff on my phone.
Nah, you just need to get it.
Give me your phone,
yeah,
pass me your phone. This is how you do it, yeah, and listen.
But in other golf news, I don't know how you're going to be feeling about this one.
Go on.
But Michelle Wee has brought up like a pastel style called like Change the Face of Women's Golf hoodies.
I like hoodies now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm a hoodie fan.
Right, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm sure you're making memes about it in saying no hoodies at Augusta and that a few months
went
ago.
Went to the lat and brought them out. I wasn't having them at first, but no, you come around, don't you?
You do.
It was just one of them because I weren't used to it. Yeah, I like a hoodie now.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, so Michelle Wee's brought out hoodies anyway. You'll be buzzing
about it. Is this the LPGA thing on the front?
Yeah.
So what is this for people to play in them?
I think it's for fundraising for like grassroots women's golf, and then it's for also it's like Change the Face, like something looks a bit, it's a new look for the women's golf because like the colours are like nice and bright and like it's a hoodie.
Yeah, no, perfect. I'm having that. Yeah,
but also could have made all that up as well. So like that's
Fact check. Let's see what these hoodies are all about. Yeah.
No, I have seen
them
floating around.
I've seen them around the socials. Yeah. All the LPGA tour players are backing around them, wearing them.
And more on women's golf as well. Pine Valley, which is dubbed as like the number one course in USA, after 100 years, is finally allowing female members and unrestricted women to play.
Brilliant.
So like, really, it should have been done years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, like, that's crazy, isn't it? Like, why is there still golf courses out there that don't allow women to play and be members?
That's what, I don't know. It's sort of like, oh, well done to you, but it's sort of really, like, shame on you as well, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, is there any, we'll have to have a little look and see if there's any others.
But I don't know what unrestricted women's play means. Maybe when, obviously, they couldn't be members, but they could play, like, at a certain time or something. As we keep getting women on the podcast and, like, more women into golf, then maybe things
times are changing.
The
like
Kardashians
said,
are out there flying, trying to hit golf shots, Andy. So surely that'll have an influx of women coming into the game.
Yeah, it's got to get there. I think we done on the Sophie Walker podcast, we got some statistics up about like it's in the billions of how much money can be made through the women's golf game. So there's a lot of money and a lot of potential for it. And even watching the golf this week, there's a lot of talent out there as well.
No, definitely.
Across all the tours. So,
well, two girls in the late 20s, 30s, two Brazilian girls have joined Formbjørn. I thought, wow, that's, you don't usually see that. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
So
yeah,
it's that, like, that's just certainly one little influx that I've seen. I don't know about SNA or whatever, but
I don't really know, to be honest.
Like Sophie Walker said, it's young or elitist or old. There's no, the middle aged, like 20, like 18 to 35, there's not really that many of them.
Yeah, if you're young trying to make it, and if you don't make it, then you don't stay on as a member type of thing, And I don't know, to be fair. I don't know the answer to that, but I know there's definitely a lot more women there as members now than there was back when I was a junior playing all the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Any other news? I haven't seen anything else on Tiger.
Updates on Tiger. No, but the only other news I've got is Hideki Matsuyama. He got presented the Japanese Gold Star by the Prime Minister of Japan in recognition of him becoming the first male major champion.
Sick.
Mm. So,
what is a Gold Star, like?
Is it the same as being knighted in this country? Oh, I don't know. Fact check, maybe. I didn't look into it. I just seen it flash up as news and thought it's worth mentioning.
No, it is.
As recognition from being the first male to win a major, and what a major it was to win as well.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah, but that's all I've got in relation to golf industry news. There's nothing more.
Nothing big
to say there. So
there is an apology from me, like for last week, thinking that the money that a PGA Tour were putting up was weekly.
Oh, the 40 mil.
And then I did put we on Instagram. We got it wrong, but it was all me. It is a lot, but I think if that other tournament, the reason I got confused is because that Premier League golf are actually offering 50-odd million guaranteed every time they tee it up. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
No, very interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Still in the Canary Islands, Tenerife, for the Tenerife Open this week on the European Tour.
Yeah.
Burmester. Posted bogey-free 62 to finish 25 under par. He won by 5 shots, but that's back-to-back 25 under pars in 2 weeks on the European Tour.
It's a pitch and putt. Like, the cut. What was the cut? Like
-4 this week.
Minus five last week.
Yeah.
To be fair, you've got to go out and still make the birdies, and there's people still making bogeys and not making the cut, but
they're
making it look a touch of a doddle, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, is getting a bit too easy, isn't it?
I see that. That's another good showing for John Catlin as well.
He did, yeah. Top 5, played, was it?
Only because I had him in my bet.
Oh, you done a bet, didn't you? Yeah. What was that one again?
It was each way treble. Sung Jae-im, Jerry Kelly and John Catlin, but the other two placed, and then Sung Jae-im just lost it on the Saturday. He was 4 over.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what happened to him. He started, but he was 2 under through 7.
Oh, no way. And that got you some nice bit of cash.
It would have got a good bit of cash, yeah.
We're not having no luck with these bets, are we, this season?
We're due a big win, you know.
We are.
A proper, life-changing amount
of
money.
Let's keep on it then. Well, I was gonna talk about maybe quitting the betting scene, but no, let's keep on it then.
Well, I said to David, I was like, you know what, I'm due a hole up, you know, very soon. Like, I'm definitely going to hole out. And on Friday, I forgot to mention this, hit it, and it bounced rolling dead weight and just went, dink, and tapped the flag to win the mother.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
No way.
I had a few putts that hit the flag and didn't go in.
On the eighth hole, it was wind in your face on the 8th, so about 150 up the hill. So if it's a 7-iron, it was definitely a 6-iron, but if it's a 7-iron, so I had to step on it. And I've hit it lovely, and it's right on the green. It's landed right on the front and rolled down that big hill.
Oh, again?
I know. So I thought, right, and because I've been there quite a bit this season, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try. I've been doing a pitch and run up the bank, or a 56, try and get a bit of spin. But I'll try the 7-iron back foot. Hit this 7-iron, Lee's on the green, I couldn't see anything, and I thought, this has got a good pace, this is going at a good pace, this, it's going, and I'm obviously just putting my club back in my bag, just thinking, won't be too far away, that, and I just nearly go, oh my God, it lipped out, done it horseshoe right round, but he said dead weight, and it went to half an inch.
That would get you some money as well for the twos.
Yeah, would have got me twos comp. Yeah, but I just think while we're on the conversation of hole out, yeah, I nearly had one myself as well.
On the conversation, not of hole outs, but balls going in things. Did you see Garakiko hit a shot? The commentator's saying this should be a layup. This should be just chipping out sideways, and he's hit this shot straight into the palm tree.
Yeah,
and it went straight through the middle of the palm tree and stayed up there. Stayed in the palm tree.
What did he do?
He had to just play again from the same spot.
And then what did he do on his second go?
He flicked it out sideways. And he went, that should have been done 10 minutes ago.
Brilliant. You know, funny story as well, right? I know I keep going back to this round, but we were on 16 and Lee in the bunker, he's drove it into the second bunker on the left of 16. And he's saying, I hear him saying to himself, right, do I go for this with a 52 or just splash it out? Do I go for it, just splash it out? So anyway, he goes for it with the 52 straight into the bank and then splashes it out after not going for it. So it's one of them things again.
It's just a waste.
Yeah, you know what the right thing to do is, but as with anything in golf, you always think, I can pull off the world here.
Well, I don't know why the man with the lowest ball flight in the world is going for any sort of shot out of a bunker like that, to be honest. But never mind.
I know. Gary Higgo, yeah. You know, we said last week, didn't we, about doing a one-to-watch segment on him. So I did. I've backed up my word and I've said I'll do it. And
about
I've
time, to be honest.
I know. Apologies for being so late on the scene. But yeah, another top 10 finish for him this week. He ended up finishing 16 under. Got a bit of information about him. He turned professional 2 years ago as a 19-year-old. And the same season, he won twice on the Sunshine Tour. He then played in the Challenge Tour. And he got into the Challenge Tour by making the cut in the 2020 European Tour qualifying school.
When is the cut of qualifying school? After three rounds? Or is it, what, like, how's it work? So you know.
You've got seven rounds in total. The final two rounds, and I think it's top 20, top 15, I think, or top, yeah, I think five rounds it is. Let's fact check that, but I think it's
just interesting
rounds
for people to know, isn't it? Yeah. Like, as well, because I didn't know.
Tom Gandhi's episode was good because he explained it very well, because he done the same.
Well, I remember it's 10 rounds, isn't it, all in all?
Is it 10 all in all?
I think it's 4 first stage, 6 second stage.
Yeah, okay.
Or 6 final stage, sorry.
So I think, yeah, you're probably looking at...
Because he was like, he's like, I just play one good round every now and again. I'm not very consistent. And then he said he had like 10 rounds in the 60s. I was like, fucking hell, I thought you were consistent.
Yeah, brilliant. So yeah, he had the 2020 European Tour qualifying school. He made the cut, didn't make it onto the European Tour to get his card. Because he made the cut, he had pretty much full right on the Challenge Tour. So this is his first real season then. In 2020, and then he won the Open to Portugal, which was a joint Challenge Tour European Tour tournament.
Oh, right.
In September last year, because of the whole COVID situation.
Yeah, nice.
And that got him a 1 year exemption on the European Tour. That.
Ah, sick.
Because he'd won that, so that then gave him more starts this season. And so far this season on the European Tour, he's finished 16th. He's had one missed cut. Then he's had a fourth, a win, and an eighth this week. So it's a total of 4 pro wins in just 2 years, and he's now up to 66 in the world.
We like that number this week.
What?
We like that number this week.
66? Yeah. I was wondering where that was going then. I was like, oh yeah, you got one. Yeah, up to 66 in the world, so he's going to be challenging me mate Bobby.
Bobby Mack.
For the best left back in the world.
Left back?
Left handed golfer. Left back. Brilliant, that footy podcast.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Challenging Bobby is the best left.
Nearly done it again.
In the world. Moving swiftly on.
I think Ashay Bhatia is going to be the best lefty.
Do you think so?
Just the way it's it, yeah.
Let's have a bet on that then.
Okay, so have we got?
How long do you need? Because Bhatia's 20 now, is he?
19.
And he's 21. Ooh, let's do the Higgo.
Yeah, let's just do fit. Like, I know, because I could never.
Because I'm going to back Higgo,
that.
Me. You can back.
I was going to say, that's the first to win a major, but that could just never happen, couldn't it? Yeah. I can buy the end of next season then.
Bit long, that, innit?
Always the end of this season then.
Okay.
Yeah, I can bet you'll be a higher ranked player than Higgo in
how
the
much?
World. 20 quid.
20.
How much do I owe you? Do I owe you any money?
40, yeah. We've done the double or quits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Killer.
What I was about, we just do a double or quit this week for who places better.
Okay.
So Higgo and Battier, both Battier's playing Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Higgo's playing the Gran Canaria. So whoever finishes higher.
I mean, like, Battier's got like a few like major champions to contend with. He's playing against fucking Juice Luton.
Hey, back-to-back hole-in-ones for Luton,
that's
though.
What I was coming on to, yeah.
Honestly.
Boss, that, isn't it?
We're just like, what, like scene,
since we said hole in ones are getting more,
yeah,
and he's having back to backs,
back to back hole in ones. Like, it's ridiculous.
What? Was it on the same hole?
No, it was different course, different tournament, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
he got a
this
hole
week
in
it's
one.
The same again.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I see. Yeah. Yeah,
he got a hole in one on the at the previous week's tournament.
Ah, right, I see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because then they got two at the Adeji, innit?
Yeah. They got back to back. They're playing the Adeji again this week for the Gran Canaria one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to get one hole in one in your lifetime is hard enough, and to get two in two tournaments back to back.
Remember John Rahm had two in the week of the Masters, like just bump, like it was nothing. One was a skim, like, but
they are getting better. You spoke last week about the story on the Corn Ferry Tour where that guy held out for two twos on the par four, and it happened again on the LPGA Tour this week.
Did it?
Yeah, Hannah Green, the Australian who just missed out by a shot, and we'll come on to the LPGA Tour in a minute. Hannah Green on the 13th or the 14th hole, can't remember off the top of my head, she held out for a two, one on the Friday and then one on the Sunday,
like
on the same hole though.
That's the same. Well, that fella had on the same day, like, but the same hole is all the same.
Same, exactly, same story, same situation. So,
like, I'd be happy to chip in on the same hole in me since I've started golf.
We're talking.
I think I've ever done it.
Never to know. Never had to chip in.
I've chipped in, but not very often. And never on the same hole.
But they're not easy, though. And this it's not easy thing to do. And these just make it look
hole
easy.
Hole outs, like
25 under par back-to-back weeks is ridiculous. Mm. Scott Jameson had a 61 this week and then followed it by a 71. Dean Berman's there. We said before he had a 62 to finish bogey-free, 62. Doesn't matter how short the courses are or how easy the courses may look, like, to not make bogeys and to shoot 25 under for four rounds, it's ridiculous. I mean,
I'm saying it's like, I'm going up to you like saying it's a pitch and putt that cuts four under, but really, with the what the problem that the RNA and people that are trying to change this whole distance debate, the trouble that's at 280 isn't trouble anymore.
No,
and when things like this are not helping the cause of the driver and ball getting reined in.
Yeah, I know.
And that has even got the Bombers playing.
Yeah, and even looking on the PGA Tour, and I say not wanting to jump ahead too far before we move on to it, but 17 under winning then, and then I even said last week, if you can guarantee, it'll be 9, 10 under that wins this week.
Mm.
But you've got 17 under winning, 14 under finishing second, they're having doubles and still shooting them scores. It's just, again, the golfers are working harder, both in the gym and on the driving range. They've got more technology to understand the game more with the TrackMan. There's more. The coaches are more advanced than they've ever been with the way golfers are taught. There's just so many different elements which are elevating the elite golfer.
Yeah, and I do love it. And like, but then I can sort of see where they're coming from now when you look at like things like this. And as I seen that when the trouble was at 285, I can't think it was Burmester, just like, it's not even in their eye line.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like do a nail one and get over it. It's like you pitch it, chip it over it.
I think the biggest problem as well, I think, touching on that, is if you do make these courses for professionals and you start moving the danger up to the 300s, the 310s, 320s, then you're ruining it for the players like me and you, where that 280 trouble is still in play.
I know, that's why, and I'm going to put a serious case forward for my shadow course thing. Because, do you know what I mean? Like, I cover them bunkers when we play, and then cover them bunkers when they play.
The bunker at 280 or the bunker at 320, you can still have the two bunkers there when the pros play, because they're going to go over the one at 280, but it's also there in case they hit three wood. Yeah. So you can have double danger for them. Whereas we're not going to reach the ones at 320.
Or just stick well more bunkers in.
Yeah, bigger lips. Yeah. There's other ways that you can do it to make the courses more difficult. We've seen that at the likes of Riviera and places like that where the scoring's not tremendous. A couple of weeks ago on the European Tour in Austria, damper conditions, colder, a longer course. That was 7-3, was it? 7-4? Yeah. When they're playing 6-8 now, and the week previous they were playing 6-4. So those yardages make a massive difference, because if the same par you're going in with, your scoring clubs, your wedges, your 9-irons, your 52s, whatever it is, whereas in Austria it's freezing cold and you're standing over a 6-iron and you've got to hit it into a small green. So these things can be adaptable. It's just, I think there also needs to be a step back and to choose. I know there's a lot of history in different courses. Maybe change the venue. So the players aren't used to playing, going back every year to the same course, and they're familiar with it. And maybe that's another reason, because they're that good, they know where the trouble is and the trouble isn't.
Yeah, well, I just think if they're going to make any new courses, should be minimum 7,500 yards off the backs.
And then have a tee for...
Well, like, they've got damages. That course there, that yoga golf that Ronan was telling us about, where he plays the international, and it's like 8-3.
Yeah.
Like, and then the PJ Tour going, like, oh, no, it's too long, it's too this. Well, not really. If you want to go and see, if you want to see people not shooting the lights out, then go and play a 350-yard par three.
Yeah. Over they should really consider, when they're making these decisions about where they want to play, put a new plan in place to say, look, for the Wells Fargo next year, instead of playing at a Quail Hollow, go and play at a track that's much more difficult.
I know, but these courses pay for it, don't they?
Yeah, it might be the same difficulty, but it's a new course for them, so they're not used to it. So when they turn up on the Monday, Tuesday, they've got to really think about planning the round. They can't just go back off the history, because what did we say last week or the week before about where you can go back and you can watch every shot?
And
the college people have got that now, so they know if they want to make it on tour, these are the type of courses that they're going to play.
They can just watch it. They can play it on video games.
So they can prepare their game for the PGA Tour, knowing that they're the courses that they're going to. But what if every year they change the course?
No,
or just have a three year running on. They got three different courses for each tournament, and then every 3 years they change.
They circulate, so it mix it all. I think it just comes down to scheduling, and like it's just easier, isn't it, just to keep a schedule, and like people can do it. And
the organisers as well. They know where to put the boards. They know where to get everything. So it is easier, but. They're not going to change the technology. They're not going to change the ball. They're not going to remove the distance, because that's an enjoyable element. What you need to do is you need to restrict them from hit and drive everywhere. So give them a par four to go to, like a risk reward, and let's see your Brysons and your Rorys give it a smack and go for it. But then you also need them to think about, like, well, I have to hit a four iron down here, and I'm going to be left with a five iron into the green, and it's a par four, but it's difficult. And then you're better. Iron players are going to score well on that hole.
That should be a more of a first port of call. Mix it up a touch before they start messing around with the equipment.
Yeah, I think so. Because then you're losing. You start messing around with equipment and reining it back and going back to the old stuff. Then you lose the enjoyment of the game. Then
no, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Because we all love to see a bomb. We all love to see a big drive, and like what Bryson done at the US Open. I know a lot of people were critical of that, but I thought it was brilliant. You know,
I don't see how anyone can be critical of that. To be honest.
I just thought it was brilliant watching them go around and do that. But again, there is other ways and means to do it. But yeah, 25 under over the last two holes. It is just amount.
If they're playing the same course again this week, and if it's another 25 under, that's like the 75 under in three tournaments. That is a travesty. Yeah. And if any of them have learned, they could even better that 25 under.
Well, this is it, and
you know what I mean.
It goes down to just a putting competition, because they're all capable of it. And I mean, how good these guys are with the wedges, if they're swinging it even half as good and giving themselves chances, all the par fives are reachable, the par threes are short, and the par fours, you've just got wedges in your hand for most of them. So it is just like target practice, and whoever can hold the most putts wins. And I honestly, I'm not being critical of the European Tour, because they're putting these events on because of COVID, so at least we're getting to see it. But I just think in events like this, you're not really seeing the best players win the tournaments, you're seeing the best putters win the tournaments.
Well, as you say there, you're hitting short irons or mid irons into par fives. Like that, I think it was either Burns or Bradley, when birdie par on the par fives for the final day, and that upped his scoring average for the par fives of the week.
Yeah, for the week. Yeah, I think it was three birdies and one par. Yeah,
and it upped his average.
Oh, yeah, for the week. Like
he's making eagles. He was 6 under on the first hole. Sam Burns
was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move us up nicely onto the Valspar Championship then.
Yeah, two eagles and two birdies.
What a performance from the kid.
No.
It's been coming, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tiger said, didn't he?
Yeah, me and Tiger have said that.
You and Tiger have said it, that's good.
But yeah, no, it goes back 4 years ago. He was the number one ranked college player, and he was always destined for big things, wasn't he? Mentioned there, he played with Tiger that round, never won the tournament, but he beat Tiger for 18 holes, and when you're playing Tiger on a Sunday and he's in his red and you're so young and you don't get intimidated by that and you beat him. Because at the end of the day, as much as he'd want to win that tournament, I don't care who you are, if you're playing in Sunday red with Tiger, you're thinking, right, I just want to beat you today.
I'd just be thinking, I want to have more. Like, there's so many conversations with Tiger. Like, I wouldn't want it to end.
Yeah, that's where super fans, though. That's because we're super fans, yeah. This was actually the third time this season he's held a 54-hole lead.
Sam Burns?
Yeah, this season. So going into the Sundays, being the leader. So he led at the Houston Open, but a final round 72 meant that he finished six back. And then, do you remember the Genesis? He was leading by five after two rounds, wasn't he?
Max Homer, Max Homer won, was that?
Yeah, when Max Homer had the playoff with Finau, and he obviously missed out on the playoff by one shot there. And then, obviously, this time he's gone into the final day leading again for the third time. So, and he's seen off players such as Keegan Bradley and Victor Hovland.
Well, it was, I think, Bradley sort of threw it away, didn't he, when he made that double bogey?
Yeah, the only ball to go in the water that whole day.
I know. Like, and then that gave him a bit of a cushion then, didn't it?
Yeah, I think with five holes to go there, or four holes to go, whatever it was, you're going to struggle to get three or four shots behind you. Three shots at that point, was it?
Yeah,
especially the way Sam Burns was playing as well.
No,
that would have relaxed him so much.
Like, do you know what I noticed about that Sam Burns? Well, a lot of chatter between him and his caddy, a lot of natter, like, about, are you sure? Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's it. Definitely. 140. Yeah, 140. Okay, you sure? I'm sure. Definitely.
That's good though, because
no, it is, boss. It's reaffirming it, and he hits a pin eye every time.
Like, and I suppose if you're spending that time in those conversations, it takes away the time that you spent thinking about the actual shot.
Yeah, but you know what?
Because you're having that argument and that conversation, so you're not thinking about the shot to come. You've only got a couple of seconds then to say, right, okay, so 140, that club, yeah, right, get in your pre-shot routine, hit the shot, and you're not stepping up to it, and you're looking at everything and thinking, oh, that's there, that's that.
You're sure, you've got your yardage, you know, you've got your swing thought ready, you've got everything, your pre-shot routine, and banging, you hit it, and you go.
It's definitely the benefit of a caddy, yeah, just keeping down your ear the whole way, and it's obviously worked. They've been close, like we've just spoke about, but we talked about hole-outs, didn't we?
We did.
Keegan Bradley, again, another hole-out eagle. He's now had 9 eagles from 100-plus yards, the most on tour since 2017. Eagle hole-outs.
It was unreal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, bit of spin back, yeah. Spin left and went in.
Like, all I want is one, like.
Do you know what's so funny about this? When I think it was when the restrictions lifted, or maybe, no, before COVID, beginning of 2020, when I started playing again. I was playing awful. And I was at one of the courses, Shirley Park. I was at just playing a municipal with a couple of the lads, and I had 118 yards in, and I hold it from 118. Yeah,
sick.
It was for like a 5. Don't want to play four.
Like that fella I played with last week.
Yeah, it was, and we still laugh about it now, because whenever we're watching the golf and someone's got 118 in, I say, you need to hit one of my wedges there.
Yeah, no, exactly. They should there, do.
Yeah, but
I was saying on the first hole, they're talking about that Burns hitting 7-9, and he nearly had a couple of albatrosses.
Yeah,
and he's hitting it that close.
This is it. But if you're going into a par 5 with a 7-9,
it's a joke.
You're gonna have that.
Yeah,
you're gonna have so many eagles. And this again, how is he getting a 7-9 into that hole? Do you know what I mean? Because the hole's easy.
No, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is that not a par 4?
Well, it should be. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I then you start taking the par 5s away. And then, again, you lose the enjoyment of the eagles and the potential albatrosses,
no, it is
and it
sick,
takes
like,
the excitement away.
Sick.
So we are at a period now where, like we said before, we just need to get on top of the golfing game, just needs to get on top of like what's enjoyable and what's ridiculous.
I know, but then I just really think I worry me for it, because if we're starting to be like, oh, that's a bit easy, then the people who were thinking it was easy before, and now it's 100, there's 101 hole-outs this week.
Was that many?
Yeah.
See, and what's that compared to previous years? That's surely record-breaking.
Well, it's notorious for having tricky greens.
Yeah.
Like, you do well to chip in and stuff. Well, people are 101 hole-outs. Like, what the fuck is that?
Don't need to worry about the greens if you're knocking them in from 110.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's notorious if you're missing the green. It's, like, getting up and down is a difficult task.
Yeah. But it goes back to the coaching element and the time that they're putting in. The coaching's advanced that much that they're learning about the bounce and the wedges and what wedges can do, and all things that, I mean, I could be wrong, I'm not a historian of golf, but I can't imagine he would have had all this technology.
No,
and things. You've got your Seve Ballesteros, known for being a magician, but he wouldn't have had all the information they've got now. Seve was a field player, Tiger was a field player, some of the best wedges in the game, but now they're holding it out more because they understand the greens. It might even be, do you know, when you're like, you've got the green books and the slope books.
Yeah.
So they know how it's going to turn, how it's going to react on the greens. All that can go towards helping it. You know, how to land it and know where it's going to slope. If you didn't have a green book, there's no way that you're remembering.
There's a 13-degree slope there on the right that's going to take it down at this sort of pace. Like, you can almost like read your 7-irons and your shots in where they're going to land them in the right spots and stuff.
Now, would you think that's a good thing for the game?
Well, it's a good thing for them, isn't it? Because they'd obviously getting it in the hole.
But then they're getting it closer, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so then the more dialed in from those angles. So as it goes back to, is that them making the golf game a bit too easy for them?
Yeah.
Because, okay, they've still got to execute the shots, but...
No, it's making it easy. Well, any the more information now these days with the way people are, like the more things that are available to them, they're going to use it and it's going to make them better.
Yeah, and there's more teams around them as well to help do that thing for them and tell them what to do. They're just going out and executing the game, and obviously unbelievable talent, we know that, but to stop them going silly low, then maybe they need to rein back in on the green books as well.
Yeah.
Make the art of reading putts more
come back to it. Well, do you know what, like, it's mad you talk about technology there, because I've done, I was talking about Matt, the little Mevo flight scope thing, you know.
You saw what Matt and Hayden have got.
Was I telling you that I used it this week?
You didn't tell me that it was
no. So I got it on the thing and put it behind me, and Hayden was saying, like, just, you want to go for like he said look, at a yard difference is 3 foot, so if you're under 100 yards in your hand, you want to be able to get it each yard on to within 2 or 3 yards, really, because like 3 yards is 10 foot or 9 foot, or what, do you know what I mean? So he's like, really, you'd like to be inside 10 foot, like that's the aim, sort of thing. So he was like, I got a feel for like 80-75. I was hitting, like, because you hit it and it goes carry 75 yards or whatever.
You did tell me this.
And it's just boss.
Yeah,
like, and then getting every yard dialed into each thing. It's just like, and that's only a tiny bit of information. That Trackman's got thousands of more numbers on it.
Yeah, they got the
line.
So
they've just got all sorts, haven't they?
Yeah, if you become an ex, and this is what I'm saying again, going back to it about how more advanced the coaches are, they understand those numbers.
Yeah.
So when you're hitting things in the Trackman, they know exactly what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, because they understand.
Well, they've got your impact angle, your launch angle, your spin rates, your path. Like, they can tell all that off a strike. They don't even need a video.
This is it.
Do you know what I mean? You're getting your, like, how open your face is at angle of attack, like, how open your face is at address, like, it's mad.
So whereas back in the day, a coach might be thinking,
you'd have to look at it, slow it down, look at all the stuff,
draw the lines,
guess,
on it.
You know what I mean? Now it's all, you've got so much more information, that's just...
Yeah. It's good, though, because we are seeing more and more players, but the better these players are getting, I think the more that he needs to be challenged. So I think a couple of things that would straight away make this...
The green books would be a nice one, wouldn't it? To take it away.
I think that would bring back the art of reading greens and putting. So you'd see when somebody does hole a ridiculously long putt, you're thinking, wow, that's a talent.
That's being read.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though...
Because if you've got a green book, you'd have to draw it around, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing. And it's what they do. They go out and they study the greens, the caddies, with the green books. You know exactly where to tell their players to hit it. So the players, if their caddy says, right, the number to this slope on this green with a bit of draw spin on it, if you hit that, you're going to be within 5 foot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas in the past, you'd have to say, to get it in 5 foot, you have to go straight to the flag.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have had that. So I think a couple of things need to happen. Maybe change the courses and give them a bit of a rotation with the courses, so they're not used to playing the same course every time. Get rid of the green books. And like you've mentioned there, the danger zones where they used to be 280, 290, move them up.
That's it.
I think if you do those three things, you'll see the best players. I know you're seeing the best players win anyway. I'm not saying that. I'm not slagging the players off. I just think that you'll see the more creative players be up there as well.
And
you'll see a lot of closer tournaments as well. This week on the PGA Tour, he's won by 3, and on the European Tour, he's won by 5.
5, exactly. Yeah.
And just a couple more mentions. Mike Vizacchi, the Monday qualifier.
No, see, Boston, he's crying to his dad and all that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh,
well,
I love that.
He bombed one down the first, 334, par 5, and then put it in the bunker, splashed out, and made birdie on the first hole. And we're thinking, yeah, here we go. And then he went bogey, bogey, bogey.
Oh. Come join us.
What, that's it. Come and join us, yeah. So, he shot 3 over first round, and then level par 71 second round. He missed the cut by a couple of shots, but... It's a respectable tournament for him, do you know what I mean? I think if he's holding his own round there and not embarrassing himself as a Monday qualifier, then, you know, there might be more to come from him.
Of course.
But I thought it was just good to mention him. A load of people picked him on the Order of Merit this week. I think it was just the whole story and they just wanted to back him, yeah. So,
I've got a little bit more information on this, but I'm going to save it for me, but maybe we'll rust.
Okay, yeah. Well, the only other mention I wanted to make then was just about Victor Hovland just missing out again. But because he's
shooting 9 under last round.
Yeah, shooting 9 under last round. But not just that. If he'd have got sole third place, he'd have broke into the world's top 10.
Ah, would he, yeah?
This week, yeah, but he stays 11th. It's coming, isn't it? He's up to third in the FedEx now. He's going to be breaking into that world's top 10 very soon,
yeah, no,
I think.
He will. Yeah, he's always been destined for greatness, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we spoke there just about tournaments not being close and leading by quite a while. Just quickly touching on the HSBC Women's World Championship then. Hyo Jo Kim won a fourth victory. And she does move into the world's top 10, but she only won by a shot. I don't know if you've seen much of it, but we spoke before about Hannah Green getting back-to-back twos.
That's mental, isn't it?
On the 14th, yeah. Well, she was leading by a shot going on to the 17th tee.
Oh.
And then she's hit the green on 17.
Oh, she birdied 16, didn't she?
Yeah. And she's hit the green on 17. And he's playing with Imbi Park, and Imbi Park's at the same shot. They're both about 30 foot away with downhill putt right across the green. And Imbi Park knocks hers about six, seven foot past, and she leaves hers like 6 foot short.
Oh.
Three puts it for a bogey,
oh.
And then goes down 18, rips one down the middle. She's got an iron in her hand. It didn't say how far away she was, and as soon as she hit it, she just head down, and she pulled it just slightly left and just rolled off the side of the green, but it was pin high. So she needed to get up and down to go into a playoff, and she couldn't do it.
Oh.
She finished bogey, and they were the only two bogeys she had all day. Obviously handed it to Kim. She got to feel sorry for losing out by one shot, but that it was quite dramatic. That
it's mad that you can have two hole out like them two. Like if she didn't hold them two shots, like there's an extra four, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I mean, at yeah. least like well, extra three.
Yeah.
Two, sorry, at least four.
If she
maybe.
Makes two birdies,
yeah, she makes two pars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If she,
you've got to be thinking it's your week, haven't you? If you're holding two shots like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got a one-shot lead with two to play. It's all in your hands. You've hit the 17th green. You're thinking, right, here we go. But she just couldn't get it over the line.
I'm sure she'll take a lot of positives from the week, though. Do you know what I mean?
Well, definitely. She finished third last week in the LA Open. And now she's second.
3-2-1, you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking. 3-2-1, maybe, yeah. But she's won twice on the LPGA Tour. So she does know how to get it over the line. But I just thought it was worth mentioning that finish because it was quite dramatic and it was good.
No, it's good. The ladies' golf was also at West Lancs as well.
The Rose Ladies series, yeah. It was.
Gabriella Cowley won.
She did,
and
yeah.
It looked. I don't remember it being like last Thursday what the weather was like, but it looked still like on some of the. Videos I've seen of them coming in.
It's never still at West Lancs.
No, it's never still, but like it looked.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a nice day, to be fair. Yeah. It was
cold, like they were all at the hats and the things, but like it looked sunny and looked like quite still with the wind.
That's it, so. Yeah. I think with West Lancs, it's right on the coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played a still West Lancs.
No.
Ever. And I probably showed with the score, and what was it, one under one?
One under 71, yeah.
10 grand.
Sad, isn't it?
That's a nice paycheck, isn't it?
Does it?
Yeah, they're doing well.
For a one-day event, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The next one. The next one is on Thursday at Woburn. Woburn.
Be decent, that.
So I wonder, is like you'd think Hull would be wanting to play in that, wouldn't you? Or is she playing in the LPGA in Thailand?
She mentioned that on the podcast, didn't she? That we done with her. That the only reason that she really played that was because of the opportunities that were available
because it was COVID.
Because of COVID, but yeah,
she won it, didn't she?
Yeah, she won the whole thing. Yeah, she's got a full schedule on the LPGA Tour. And
so she's not going to give that up for that.
They're in Singapore at the minute, aren't they? I don't know where they're going next week. I haven't looked, but
it's Thailand.
Is it Thailand? Yeah. So she'll be out there playing there. But yeah, that's her home club, isn't it? So it's probably
that would,
sure,
yeah,
if she'd have home, she definitely would have played it. But just before we move on to that time again, got a little quiz for you.
Go on.
Right, it's only three questions. It's relevant to. This week.
Oh, God.
So, mentioned before, Sam Burns held the 54-hole lead for the third time this season. But what other player has also held a 54-hole lead three times this season? I'll give you multiple choice.
Go on.
Okay. Is it A, Victor Hovland, B, Jordan Spieth, C, John Rahm, or D, Justin Thomas?
Jordan Spieth?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember he had two. I couldn't think of anyone else.
Yeah, he had two. Yeah.
Do you know, if you didn't give me multiple choice, I would have said Stuart Sink.
Would you? Yeah, no, it's not a bad.
You know what I mean?
Not a bad one, though, was it? Because he's won twice this year, so, yeah. Gutted to never put Stuart Sink on the multiple choice.
That would have been it, yeah. That would have been the careful.
Right, next question. We spoke about this before. What is the combined winning score across the five European Tour events so far this season?
All added together.
So is it -100, -106, -110, or -116?
110.
Oh, I thought you were going to get that then. 106.
Ah.
Was you going to say 6 or 16?
6.
No, you wasn't.
It's 16. No, because I was thinking, right, there's 50 straight away. Then there's 80, and I was thinking, what would do the two? Like, my head went.
Yeah. So we had 21 under, 21 under. So back to back, it was 21 under at Kenya, and it's back to back 25 under in Tenerife and Gran Canaria, and then in Austria. John Catlin won 14 under. He was
right. That was the one that brings it down a touch, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then final question. We haven't mentioned this yet, but it'll bring us nicely on to the Birdie Bogey Bus time. Marcus Armitage broke the Guinness World Record this week by landing a golf ball onto a moving car. What distance did the ball hit the car? Was it A, 300 yards? B, 303 yards? C, 306 yards? Or D, 309 yards.
See, I think 303 sticking out in my brain because I actually watched the whole video.
Yeah.
Is it 303?
It is, well done. Yeah, well done. So that's all I've got, just them three questions.
No, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, and now nicely on to that time again.
It's that time again, y'all.
The Birdie Bogey Bust, the Birdie Bogey Bust, Birdie Bogey Bust.
Shall I go first with my birdie?
Go on then.
Marcus Armitage. Breaking the world records.
That thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Money!
He's a legend, isn't he?
Wait, like I tagged Duncan McCarthy in the thing saying, when is he coming on to tell us about
he's
this?
He's got to come on, you know.
He's got to come on.
What a character. He'd be perfect for our
boss,
show.
He
does, yeah. The BMW touring car driver, Paul O'Neill, was driving.
He looks nervous, doesn't he? As it's about to land, like, ugh.
Yeah, it's going to get me. And M8 convertible, I don't know my cars, but the previous record was 273 yards, so he's pipped that by 30 yards.
I mean, what sort of record is that even to be trying?
Who even thinks of these
like,
records?
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to have a go, though.
Oh, yeah, it looks sick, didn't
what
it?
Do you reckon you could beat that?
I can't hit it 303 yards.
I'm glad you said that
first. Can it bounce on the runway or what?
No, it's got to be
banging. I see how many efforts he had at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's some effort to keep, like, going back, the car having to go back and then back and doing
forth,
it.
Back and
doing
forth.
It.
Some petrol getting used.
Yeah. Not very environmentally friendly, that is it?
Definitely not. What's your birdie?
Well, obviously, ticking off all my golf goals in one foul swoop.
You might as well just quit, lad. Yeah. You're on a high.
Well, do you know what? Speaking like, the birdie really is, when I went in, they were like, oh, you probably won 150 quid for that because me and Hayden shot 59 as well as a team.
So 59?
Yeah. I had 6 birdies, he had 4 on different holes, and we all had pars and the rest of them.
Wow.
So we had 10 under as a team. So I thought, he said, basically, I'd probably got 150 quid there or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, whatever. And Dave was like, enter open qualifying, because I got down to scratch. I was like, yeah, enter open qualifying. So I was like, I will. He's like, no, do it now. I was like, I'll do it when I get home. He's like, do it right now. I was like, all right. So I just fucking went on. Didn't think it was going to let me in or whatever. So we've done it. It said, you've now entered. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that's like.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, that's brilliant. I
told Arkeen and he's like, you've got some neck, haven't you, entered that?
What a journey, though, from 9 handicap to even just entering open, being able to be in a position to enter open qualifying.
No, it's mad,
isn't
it?
So good, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Imagine him qualified.
What do you mean, imagine when we qualify?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you on the bag?
I'm on the bag. This has already been confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to just have a fight with our Liam, I think.
Has your Liam on
the bag? No, he said, I'll caddy for you. And I was like, oh.
Liam can have one round, I'll have the other.
Yeah.
Is it 36 holes?
No, I think the final is.
Okay.
So once I get through the regional, I'm very feeling. You've got to be confident, haven't you?
Like, fresh off an 83, yeah.
If you think it. Well, I was fresh off an 89 when I shot 66. So
there
like,
you go,
hopefully,
yeah.
That's got a bit of a trend to it.
Brilliant, yeah.
But yeah, that's my birdie anyway, because it was just.
Very
personal.
Justifiable.
So what's your bogey for the week then?
Well, this week at the Valspar Championship, players could put whatever name they wanted on the back of the caddy's back.
Was Ricky Fowler playing?
No.
Because he could have put Big Dick Rick, couldn't he?
Well, see, that would have been perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no one's taken advantage of it. You know, when you talk about the PGA Tour's player impact program.
Yeah, with the social media and all that.
Yeah, social media and getting your name bounced around and whatever. You've got an opportunity to make yourself a bit of a legend.
Like Ricky Fowler should have definitely done, or someone should have done something boss like that. Did no one nothing good?
Well, Casey put Popeye.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know, yeah.
Oh, he gets called Popeye only because of his arms or something. Well, yeah. Forearms, sorry.
Does he, yeah?
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that, no. But either way, it's still crap, innit?
No, yeah, proper crap.
Bo Hostler, it's Bo time.
Oh.
Kevin Kistner put...
He should get docked for FedEx points, though.
Kevin Kistner just put Kiz. Graham McDowell just put GMAC.
Even, like, Kiz my ass. Do you know what I mean? Or something... like something better than Kiz, like
brilliant,
or maybe butt.
One good one was Sun Kang put Kangster.
Yeah,
that was half all right.
Yeah,
but I just think that's my bogey this week because it's just a missed opportunity to gain an advantage on the social media. And people will talk about you, and then they start following you, and then you know what I mean. You're ahead of the game, aren't you?
Yeah. Or you could even put something like slagging someone else off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to think of one.
Yeah. I thought about it, but I can't be that bothered with you editing it out.
Let's move on to your bogey then.
My bogey, it's a weird one, man. It's more of like a bit of a factual one, right? So
it's not like you.
Did you know Cameron Tringale become top of a special leaderboard this week?
Go on now.
The most money earned without a win.
Right. You've always got to hate with this, haven't you? Like earning loads of money but not actually winning.
Well, because he got asked as well in his thing, he said like he was 40 grand behind somebody, whoever, I can't remember who the fella was, but Brian Davies, I think it was. He's 40 grand behind him, and he got asked, like, because he come third and he won 407,000.
Yeah,
and they were like, oh, do you know you've gone top of this leaderboard? And he was just like, no. And he was fuming about it, like,
he's like
297 starts without a win.
Is that, yeah?
297 tournaments, yeah. 13,743,000. That's how much he's earned.
Is it?
Yeah, without a win.
But what can you do about that?
No, I know.
You're obviously not happy with it because it's your bogey. So what are you saying? Like, you just think it's...
I just think it's, like, mental, like, that you can earn that much money without winning a tournament.
Yeah, but it just shows how much money's on that tour at the minute.
It's exactly.
Yeah, well, if he gets his name about in the social media, there'll be another 8 mil on top of that.
Well, that, there's, like... Obviously, because our podcast got so much moving power, so me just saying that could spike the needle for him.
Brilliant.
What's your bogey?
Right, so...
Oh, God.
I know. So we spoke about how proud we are of you for winning your pro event, shooting 66s, cracking all your goals.
Yeah.
But my bust this week is just for you to just chill out a bit, you know.
Yeah, well, I did at 83 on Saturday.
That's more like it. Yeah. At the end of the day, with the bogey boys, there's a reputation to uphold, and you can't be like winning pro events and making the open and things, you know what I mean? That's why I'm on the bag solely just to make sure that you don't get there so we can we can keep our reputation at hand.
I was saying there, like... we should just take a load of Corona in the bag, and if it starts getting shit, just start nailing them. And we definitely make some sort of social platform with that.
100%. Yeah.
Well, my bust was going to be like, if you don't stop shooting in the hundreds, then you won't be able to play any of the events.
Hundreds. Have a word. I'm shooting low 80s. Thank you very much.
Nah, that's not really my bogey. That was going to be it, though. But that's just a little word of warning to pull your finger out.
Okay.
My bogey is John Daly.
My bust,
John Daly coming down the stretch there, tired in the seniors tour.
Oh, I didn't see any of that. Yeah. What happened?
So he's tired with Mike Weir coming down the... tired on thingy.
Wasn't actually
playing with him, like two old school legends from when we were watching golf.
Yeah.
And he's got a 9-9 into the last, hits a shot, and on it there was a bit of a wooden, like, you know, thing to stop the lake.
Oh, the slats at the front?
Yeah, and like he just hit it into that, like it just hit it and went in the water, and he was just looked at his caddy and was like, I've hit that perfect. I thought
I'd
got
a wrong yardage.
I don't know. Well, it sort of just had like a little look at each other, and he was just like, can I drop up there? And he was like, yeah, come on. And then he walked off, made the double, ended up finishing third.
Oh, and Mike Weir won.
Yeah.
Gutted there, that is a good bust, that.
I know.
Gutted for the big man. Being great to see him back in the winning circle, wasn't it, when the last time he's won?
I think it was the Masters, wasn't it?
Fact, yeah.
Only saying that because Stuart thinks the last one was right. But now, good birdie bogey bus, brother.
Very good, yeah, very good. So let's move a couple of years on, 1975 Ryder Cup, as we continue this segment then.
Yep, September the 19th to the 21st at Laurel Valley Country Club in Legionnaire, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, of course, that was co-founded by Arnold Palmer, and Arnold Palmer was the captain, which is quite fitting this year, non-playing captain.
It's interesting how early he's went into
captaincy.
And course design.
Yeah, yeah, course design.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So no. Maybe just seen another avenue for money, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Because obviously the money obviously wasn't as good back then, was it?
No, well, it was happening quite a bit, wasn't it? There was a couple of players getting involved in course design, but I don't know whether Arnold Palmer was one of the first, but
yeah.
Fact check that, I don't know much about it. But didn't stop another convincing win for Team USA, 21-11 they won.
I know, well, I read saying that the serious questions started being asked about, like, even the continuing the Ryder Cup after that, because the Great Britain and Ireland failed again to put any serious sort of challenge up.
Yeah, it was a bit unfair though, wasn't it? You think of the size of America as a country just taking on GB and Ireland. Do you know what I mean? When you look at it from a population perspective,
no wonder
they were smacking them every week. So what then? It's a take it Team Europe's coming soon then.
Well, yeah, in 1979, so it wasn't too, the next time it was on American soil,
right.
They were allowed to bring over people from continental Europe as well.
Oh, good.
So that's when it changes to Europe
Team
and
Europe
then gets obviously gets a touch more competitive.
Right.
But I've never actually thought about that from a size point of view. It's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's 300 odd million people in.
Yeah, exactly. Much more golf courses. But when you think of continental Europe, do you know what I mean? The same with the President's Cup, when you've got like your Australias and things challenging America, it's more of an even talent pool, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
One little thing, Niall Coles got played on the Order of Merit and qualified for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And he withdrew because he's got a fear of flying and it was too impractical to get over by the sea.
No way.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
But then I suppose then that does just show you how, not Mickey Mouse trophy, but how serious this Ryder Cup was back then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's just pulling out.
How passionate can you get about a Ryder Cup when you're turning up at the end of a season, September, sometimes October, November times, when you probably just want to go on the holidays and you've got to play a Ryder Cup. And I don't think I get the feeling, and I don't know this for sure, but wasn't much to it if they're going and getting it handed to them every time.
No, it's more just going to get away from the families and wives for a bit, aren't they? A bit of a piss up on the way, isn't
that? That's, yeah, no, definitely. But Hale Irwin, we talk about rookies. It was Hale Irwin's first Ryder Cup in 1975. Obviously, he's went on to do amazing things, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was also the highest point scorer that week, 4.5 points he had.
Nearly half the points.
Yeah, exactly. and on the contrary, it was one of Jack Nicklaus's more poorer performances. He lost both of his singles matches to Scotsman Brian Barnes, a Ryder Cup he'll never forget.
No, definitely, of course not.
Beating Jack Nicklaus back-to-back, lovely. And then, obviously, on the other mention, when we talk about singles matches, Peter Oosterhuis, who we've spoke about the last two, handing it to Arnold Palmer. He won both of his singles matches as well. Obviously, Palmer didn't get the chance to face him because he was a non-playing captain, but seems to have a good singles record, Peter.
Well, Peter Oosterhuis and Tony Jacklin are both US-based players at this point, so they're already over there.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah. So they're playing the more
But they usually didn't really pick them, but then some other fella called Tommy Horton got picked, but he finished 15th on the leaderboard, and he got picked in and made his debut at age 34. So that's an interesting one, instead of taking like a younger rookie.
Oh, right,
so they must have went for like they must have took a different angle on it, a bit more experience, and obviously never paid off.
But yeah, no, the 1975 Ryder Cup, another Team USA win. But obviously, I don't know the results of the next ones, but I'm really interested to see how the 79 one goes and so on.
Oh,
and see,
yeah, like, can we have a couple of thingos back, like a couple of anything?
Team Europe. Well, you know what, 79, and you got the 80s. That's when Seve starts.
Yeah,
and you got all the other superstars making it into.
No, it's a good. As I always say, we love this segment, and I can't actually wait for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
itself
exactly.
To be coming. Like.
Yeah, definitely, and then we'll know all about it, won't we?
Yeah.
Right then, a couple of events to review then. The Canary Islands Championship, we briefly touched on it, didn't we? About playing the same course.
Yeah, so it's a cost of the day, 6,816 yards.
Yeah.
So
expect
birdies, yeah.
Yeah, expect
unless,
birdies again.
What could they have possibly done? Like maybe not water it as much, firm it up. firm the greens up, make it quicker.
It's going to be difficult to make dramatic changes in a couple of days, isn't it, really?
No, exactly, yeah.
Because they're going to be out there playing practice rounds as well, aren't they? Yeah. The lads will be out there and playing the course and stuff, so there won't be that much maintenance getting done, I don't think. But yeah, what was when they played two rounds in the same course in Kenya? Didn't Duncan McCarthy mention something?
Well, yeah, he just said, basically, like, rest, reset, go again. Like, don't try not to think of anything that happened. Like, yes, you play, you've got good memories as well as bad memories.
Didn't you about Formbjerg playing on the fifth and you do these... Yeah. You've got these memories because you used to play in that course.
Oh, mate, I've done it again 3 times this week. Just boom, straight into the hazard.
Did you? But it is, that's right, sometimes it's best to just go away and play somewhere else, like
Walton.
Yeah. Like Walton, yeah, and just take the crown, yeah. No, but you're right, it's, you do get holes that always stick in your mind and always that, like, 17th hole, I told you this, didn't I, on Saturday when I seen you?
Yeah.
I was standing on the 17th tee and I said to Lee, when I won this in 2007, I was level par on this hole, both rounds. I made 7 both times. And this is before I've took my tee shot on 17.
Why did you even say them words?
I like telling the story because I still won the tournament, do you know what I mean? But straight away, it's like, I've made triple both rounds and shot 3 over, 3 over. It was still enough to win the tournament, but I'm reminding myself of a triple bogey when
never,
I'm standing on that nootie on that nootie on 17 as well, which is even further back.
What did you make?
I had 6, didn't I?
Oof. You should have just missed it for the crack.
No, yeah, just got a 7, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post on the socials Duncan McCarthy's thing that he wrote again and just see what he says and then see if it comes true, because I think even like good memories can be a negative. Like we talk about the 64-73 or 63-74 syndrome where people are going out, and if you're not 3 under or 4 under by the time you get to certain spot, you can start getting down on yourself.
You think you're worse off.
When like pars are good, sort of thing.
Yeah, straight away you're thinking, oh, I'm worse off here, but it's definitely not the case. No.
But this is just a one-off event, I think, as you said, like this little swings, has replaced the Portugal Open and different things.
Yeah, the Portugal Masters, because of the because of COVID and stuff, that's been pushed back quite a bit. So yeah, they're just fitting this in to give the lads a bit of competitive golf. So I mean, I know we're sort of not having a go, but I mean, even the Kenya Open, it's normally only one event there, so they put extra one on to give them an extra chance to win some money. So it's good.
I think it's more just an extra time to keep the thing totting over. By the all travel again, there'll be more withdrawals, more tests, more nonsense, like just bang, 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 bang. Yeah, they've done it in Cyprus, didn't they, as well, last year. So interesting. Like, but like if it's, they shoot 2500 again, they have to probably seriously consider going back there like next year as well, because if it's an entertaining tournament.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, you've got to try and find that balance where what's entertaining and what's silly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because you can get some people like who, when they're playing on form, like Bearminster did there, he ends up winning by 5 shots, and so it's a bit of an anticlimax towards the end. And we always think about tournaments, you want to see those last 6 holes being competitive and someone making a mistake.
Definitely, yeah. Like we always talk about having like a par 5 coming in and it making it a bit more exciting.
You start on a par 5 and you end on a par 5 on this course, so you've got a great opportunity to make a fast start, and you've got a great opportunity to have a great finish. Do you know what I mean, on the par 5s? But just look at the drama on the PGA Tour. Keegan Bradley puts it in the water and ends his tournament because it was close. He was leading at the time.
Yeah.
So,
or at least tied anyway.
Yeah. So he's made that mistake, and then all of a sudden it's
better for the fans, isn't it?
100%. I just want to make a quick mention. We didn't speak about him last week. I did have him in my notes to talk about him, but I want to talk about him this week. A guy called Tom McKibben. I don't know if you've heard of him before.
No.
He's a Northern Irish guy. Plays at the Hollywood Golf Club, which is the same golf course that Rory McIlroy comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Rory's been mentoring him. He's close to McIlroy. He shot 70-70 last week. Missed the cut, obviously, because it was 4 under. He's only shot 2 under for the 2 rounds, but that was his first professional tournament. He turned pro on the Sunday before. So just one to keep an eye out. I don't really know much about him. We can maybe do a one-to-watch segment on him.
No, definitely. Really,
he's only 18 years of age.
Ah, sick.
Yeah, Northern Ireland's next Rory McIlroy, the same, but we'll quite big shoes to fill. We'll see what comes of that.
Exactly.
And then the only other mention I wanted to say was just how well the South Africans are doing on the European Tour. 4 of the 5 events they've won this year.
Mad, isn't it?
Four of the five, yeah.
I know what that's about.
No idea, you know, just good at making birdies, maybe. Maybe the courses they play in South Africa suit what's being played the on the European
style,
tour.
Yeah, maybe.
We have Bearminster win last week, then Higo the week before, and then Van Tonder won in Kenya the second week, and Harding. Yeah, it's only John Catlin who's won in between in Austria.
He got an exemption into the PGA Championship as well.
Who did?
John Catlin.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
For what?
Recent form and playing.
Oh, has he, yeah? Brilliant.
And also, do you know who else got one of them? Ricky Fowler, despite being 111th in the world, and there's a bit of a hoo-ha about it.
Tell you what, we'll come on to this now, because the Wells Fargo Championship, because Ricky Fowler's had one of his better finishes in the event in 2019. He shot 9 under here and was tied fourth, and he definitely needs a kick up the backside, no, otherwise he's going to see himself on the Corn Ferry. We spoke about this with Jordan Spieth, and he listened to us, and he got himself back on form.
Well, let's just say it now. Didn't we do it for someone else? I think we've already done this, but Ricky Fowler's in danger of losing his PGA Tour card.
But you know, on a serious note though, he hasn't got the major championship exemptions, and
that's why there's hoo ha about him getting in this,
because he's never
getting in the PGA Championship. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and it's based on current form. This exemption, and they've given it to him. So there's a couple
very political lap.
I know,
very political lap, because he's a big name and he drives big.
Well, they're obviously probably hoping for the bibs. I think again, so we can put the big dick Rick,
the bibs. A couple of football quotes on this pod today.
Isn't it?
But no, yeah, the Quail Hollow Golf Club, there was no tournament last season due to the COVID-19, so your defending champ is Max Homer.
Yeah.
15-under and won by 3 shots over Joel Darman last year, and Justin Rose finished third.
Yeah, well, there's been no one's ever defended this championship, so Max will be looking to rectify that stat.
Yeah, no back-to-back winner, no.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
But I was looking here, the purse for this event is 8.1 million. And then when Justin Thomas won this event at this course, sorry, the PGA Championship, the purse was 10 million for the major. So if you add that extra million onto that, it's close to major money.
It is, yeah. Well, do you know, it feels like a major tournament, this one, because it's at a major championship venue. Mm. Obviously, it's held the PGA Championships. It's also hosting what was meant to be the 2021 President's Cup, but it's being put back a year because of the Ryder Cups this year and the COVID situation. But major championship winners as well. Tiger Woods won a year in 2007 when it was called the Wachovia Championship. You've just mentioned there, JT, back in 2017. He won it the year after the Tom Fazio design. He made a number of changes, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
After initially reconstructing the course back in 97. And Rory McIlroy, two-time winner in the event, 2010.
Is he the only person to win it twice, yeah.
Well, if you look at this, 2010, 2015, it's a five-year gap. It was meant to be 2020, so no reason why Rory's not going to win it then.
Well, Rory is... He's played this event 9 times and only finished out of the top 10 twice.
Bloody hell.
So, but he hasn't played since the Masters as well, so he also could be rusty, but that could also be a reset time for him. He's got the course record, he's got the 72-hole record as well.
This is why I'm so far down that Order of Merit, because I haven't picked him this week.
Haven't you?
No.
Jesus.
But no, it is. It's a great field at a great venue. Bryson's there. Patrick Reed.
Well, 13 out of the top 20 in the FedEx today.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. See, brilliant. So really looking forward to this one. It's going to be a great event. DJ's not there. He's probably the biggest name missing, isn't he? Yeah?
Probably is the biggest name in golf.
He is the biggest name in golf, yeah. So
tell you who is there. Facts. Speaking of big names, Will Zalatoris. He's had a busy couple 2 weeks off there, getting engaged, buying a house.
Oh,
making some serious move with his with his Masters money.
I was going to say, yeah, he's definitely arrived then.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, brilliant stuff. I didn't see that he was there, yeah. Brilliant stuff.
To par 71, 7,521 yards.
Monster.
So you're six or 700 yards more than the pitch and putt that they're playing on the European Tour.
Brilliant stuff, yeah. No, like I said, it's got a major,
it has,
major
I'm
championship
really looking
feel
forward
about
to
it.
Watching this. I love Quail Hollow.
I am, yeah. I can't see past Tommy Fleetwood winning, though. Do you know what I mean? He's met the Bogey Boys last week. And
oh, yeah.
He's got the Bogey Boys blessing.
Well, I touched him, and I turned into him on the Wednesday and shot 66. So what if he touches me and he turns into fucking me?
83,
Kev. 83, yeah. That'd be so funny, that, wouldn't it?
Not for him, it won't, no.
Not for you either, if he's in your picks.
He's actually not, so we're all right there. Yeah, but...
why is he not in your picks if you can't see past him winning?
I've just gone for Victor Hovland.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, just because I think form-wise, he'll know that he's so close to breaking into the top 10. Yeah, I just think, I just fancy him to win.
No, yeah. I do. So, decent.
Who's your pot one pick?
You know, Rory. Rory.
Gotta be Rory, yeah.
Gotta be, man. Gotta be.
Good lad. Pot two, I've gone Gary Woodland.
I was going to go him, you know.
Was you?
I keep tunnel visioning for Parsons players.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons he mentioned a few times that he's so close, Gary Woodland, ex-major champion. It's at a major championship venue, you know. I really do think there's an opportunity for Gary to win one, so
no,
I've gone for
the postman, Ian Poulter.
Have you? Yeah?
I don't think I've ever picked him.
You've never put him on?
No. I've gone for a very, very European field. Everyone who's noticed to my picks. Every one of them, yeah.
Pot three for me is Harry Higgs. Just a legend.
Ledge, he is. I've gone for Cabrera Bayo.
Oh, yeah. Very good. So he's back from hosting the event that he's hosted last week.
Last week, yeah.
And he's brought back over. Bit of jet lag.
Hopefully not.
And then pot four, I'm giving him another go. I picked him last week in pot three. And he shot level par, so he's just missed out on the cut. But Austin Cook.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid player, and I think he's due a made cut, and that does you in pot four.
Well, my pot four is my pot four from last week because he made the cut, Luke Donald.
Right, yeah.
Well, I've seen a thing about Luke Donald, he posted quite an emotional thing on his Instagram about someone asked him, is he going to give up? And he was like, because you're well and one, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, no, I'm not giving up, blah, blah. And then now he's obviously making cuts and he's got a new little spring in his step. So that's my reasons behind that one.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. It'd be interesting to see who does come out on top, because it's a very, it's a stellar cast in the field, isn't it? And looking forward to just...
No, definitely. One thing we've got to mention as well, there's an LPGA Tour event this week as well. I know we always touch on it, a little touch.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same country club in Pattaya, the old course, defending champions Korean Amy Yang, 6,552 yards, and there's 101 bunkers.
Wow.
Mad, that, isn't it?
101 bunkers, yeah. See, well, that'll put everything to the test then, because we'll watch that this week and we'll try and see whether those extra bunkers make a difference. Yeah. I know distance wise, it's probably going to be a bit difficult.
Well, how many is that, like 20 a hole or something?
100 bunkers in 18
holes. Go on, do the math for me.
Oh, my God. It's like four.
What did I just say?
It's like four and a half a hole.
Yeah, but no, it's like four and a half a hole.
You said 20.
I meant there's one hole with 20 on it. Where did I get... What maths was I doing there?
Is 101 bunkers even a lot, thinking about it? If it's four bunkers a hole, two fairway bunkers, two greenside bunkers...
It was on the LPGA Tour website, so it's getting reported. Fucking take that bit out.
Fucking brilliant. What a way to finish.
That was sick, that.
What a lad. No, but yeah, we got... It's just events galore now, isn't it?
No, it is, yeah.
Again, like I said last week, I enjoy watching the women's game, and now I'm getting to know the players a bit more.
No, you can see who's doing what.
Because we didn't mention it, but Imbi Park and Patty Tavatanica both finished tied third, so both up there again.
I know.
You know, Lydia Ko was top 10.
So it's got a bit more consistency. How did the Corder sisters get on?
I don't think they played.
Didn't they?
I didn't see them on the leaderboard. They could have done, but...
No, I don't think they did.
No, but I know Charlie Hull, she made the cut. I think she finished top 40 or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't spectacular, but again, making cuts.
One to keep an eye on her, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. But more events to look forward to. As always, Kevin, enjoy having these chats with you, mate.
Love it, mate.
Big congratulations in order for winning that professional event made up for you.
Cheers, bro.
But just chill out, yeah?
Well, yeah. I'm back to being a bogey boy now. That was just that was a fluke.
Brilliant stuff, yeah. And as we say every week, anyone wants to take advantage of the codes that we've got.
Well, do you know what? I'm not even messing, not even plugging this at all, but like a couple of tablets at 9 of them CBDs and a couple before it on the first day. Like first day, I wasn't even nervous, stood up there and just hit 5 wood onto the green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I wasn't, and I had a little go with the vape down the stretch, and it's proper sorted me out.
Yeah, just took your nerves away, not even thinking about your score.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. No, it does work. I mean, I always get first tee nerves on the first hole, especially.
Well, there's no other place to get first tee nerves, is there really? Yes! What a way to finish.
Just when I thought I was getting away with that there. Get in. Brilliant, that. So, yeah, I get my first tee nerves in the second all the time. And Yeah, didn't have nothing. Just felt so calm.
That's it.
Still, it's a terrible shot, but that's down to me, not down
to me. No, yeah, at least you're not like shaking or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, yeah. A few people actually have been out, loads of people have been asking me about it. Like, so obviously the code Bogey Boys 15, and if anyone wants to get
any. Yeah, 15% off all products, yeah. Go and take advantage of that while you can. Definitely a product that we recommend. We're using it. THC free, got the recommended amount of CBD that you'd need, and just trial and error with it. Obviously, everyone's dosage is different, mm-hmm. so see what you think you need, and anything just to take the edge off when you get a bit nervous down the stretch, like you've just said, or like I've said on the second tee with my first tee nerves.
And it's also as well, if you need any more information, these are a podcast with them.
Yeah, Golfers CBD podcast. I'm not sure what episode it is, but if you go down, it's named and listed. So, Andy, who's the CEO of the company, he tells us all about the products and the story behind it. Great story, to be honest.
No, it's boss, yeah.
Go and have a listen.
Yeah, and also we've got the Arcos, 10% off Arcos as well, haven't we, with the Bogey Boys 10.
Another great piece of kit that we've been using.
That's boss.
You've been seeing more of the benefits than I have, because you're playing a lot more than me, but, you know, I can vouch for it, definitely.
No, 1,000,000%.
Mm-hmm. But as always, mate, really enjoyed the chat. What have you got on this week? Another tournament?
No, next week is the next Alliance at Weston.
It's great. You know, when I was thinking there, I was talking about like amateur form before. When's your next event? And straight away now, because you're winning pro event.
Our next event's on Sunday. The Hesketh Henriques, you might get balloted out.
I was going to say, is it though? Is it? I'm up to 5.9 now on my handicap, so I'm not sure whether I'll even get in that. Honest. The draw is Tuesday tomorrow. The 4th of May, which is tomorrow, so it'd be interesting if I get balloted out. But if I get balloted in, this will be the first competitive tournament me and you are going to be playing against each other in since we started the pod.
What else we need to do as well is enter Chris Hansen's 2020 event at the Marriott.
Okay.
I think we should do that rapid.
Let's do that rapid. Let's do that now when we finish.
Yeah.
Right then. Looking forward to another great week of golf and catching up with you next week to talk all about it. But until next week, we'll catch you soon.
Ciao.
A bit of a healthy breeze right here, so I would talk. Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.